Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Ki Tavo, in which Moshe Rabbeinu continues to anticipate and elaborate upon the mitzvot that will become applicable upon entering and settling the land. The parasha opens with the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah to bring an offering of our first fruits to the Mikdash. The Torah provides us with the text of a statement of acknowledgement and thanks, of Hakarat HaTov, that we have merited to live to see the realization of Hashem's promise to our forefathers. This script serves as the fundamental text of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, having been adopted by the author of the Haggadah, as it consists of a concise review of the circumstances of our slavery in Egypt, our crying out to Hashem, and His response, miraculously redeeming us, and culminating with our arrival in Eretz Yisrael, the land flowing with milk and honey that has afforded us the bounty we are now celebrating. Having brought the offering of our first fruits to the Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash, we can now rejoice in the bounty of the land, not forgetting to include those who don't have a portion in the land, the Levi and the Ger. Moshe reminds us to redeem all the required ma'asrot, the various tithes offered each of the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, and to verbally declare that we have met all the relevant requirements. And with this, Moshe Rabbeinu concludes the mitzvah section of his speech and addresses the following summary to the nation. In Perek Chav Vav, Psukim Tet Zayin through Yud Tet, chapter 26, verses 16 to 19, we read, Hayom hazeh, Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha la'asot et hachukim ha'ele ve'et ha'mishpatim, v'shamarta ve'asita otam bechol levavcha u'bechol nafshecha. On this day, Hashem commands you to perform these chukim and mishpatim, these decrees whose reasons are beyond us, and these civil laws, and you shall observe and perform them with your entire heart and soul. Et Hashem he'emarta hayom liyot lecha lelokim, v'lalechet bidrachav v'lishmor chukav u'mitzvotav u'mishpatav v'lishmoa bekolo. You have he'emarta. He'emarta is a difficult word to translate. We'll discuss why a little bit further on. But I will, for our purposes in the moment, the Koran Tanakh translates he'emarta as proclaimed. So you have proclaimed today that God is your God, to walk in His ways and observe His decrees, commandments and laws, and listen to His voice. The Chumash Mesorat HaRav, containing the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, translates he'emarta as selected, and Art Scroll translates as distinguished. So you have selected or distinguished Hashem as your God this day, to walk in His ways, etc. Pasuk Yudchet continues, just as we have proclaimed, selected, or distinguished Hashem as our God, Hashem he'emircha hayom liyot lo le'am sgula ka'asher diber lach v'lishmor kol mitzvotav. Hashem has similarly proclaimed, selected, or distinguished you to be for Him an am sgula, a treasured people as promised, and to keep all of His mitzvot. So there's a mutual relationship here. U'letitcha elyon al kol hagoyim asher asa, L'tehila u'l'shem u'l'tiferet, v'lihiyotcha am kadosh l'Hashem Elokecha ka'asher diber. What is the purpose of developing this unique relationship? To place you high above all the nations He made, for praise, renown, and glory, and to be a nation holy to Hashem your God, as promised. Let's take a closer look at these psukim, which really constitute the mission statement of the Jewish people. So first of all, the opening words, Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha. On this day, Hashem is commanding you. Now, this is Moshe's summative statement, which is the conclusion of a speech that has already lasted for many, many days, and in which he is reviewing and explaining mitzvot that had been given nearly 40 years ago at Har Sinai. So what does he mean by introducing this summary in the present tense, as if the mitzvot were being given today, in the 40th year since the exodus from Egypt, and on the eve of entering the promised land? Rashi interprets homiletically, citing the Midrashic teaching regarding the mitzvot, Bechol yom yihyu be'enecha chadashim, ki'ilu bo bayom nitztaveta alehem. On each and every day, the mitzvot should be new in our eyes, as if on that very day they were commanded to us. When something is new, it's exciting and precious, like a child with a new toy that he can't put down and refuses to share. After a few weeks, that same toy might be cast off carelessly in a corner and forgotten. So Moshe is teaching us a strategy for preserving our excitement. Let's approach the mitzvot each day as if for the first time, with enthusiasm and energy, with intellectual curiosity and active commitment. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh takes a different approach. Today doesn't literally mean today, rather now, at this time period. The nation is now about to enter the land. The Or HaChaim teaches that once we enter the land, our relationship with Hashem will take on a whole new dimension. Keeping the mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz cannot compare to mitzvah observance in Eretz Yisrael, which is inherently so much more profound, so much deeper. Therefore, Moshe addresses Bnei Yisrael as they are about to embark on a new standard of mitzvah observance, as if they are being newly commanded to keep the mitzvot. Ibn Ezra notes that Moshe uses two verbs with regard to observance of the mitzvot. Bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha, v'shamarta v'asita utam, bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha. So the verbs, are v'shamarta v'asita, referring to keeping them in our hearts, v'shamarta, keep them, observe them in your hearts, as well as the practical observance, which is really going to go into full effect when we enter the land, v'asita, bechol nafshecha. And some commentators see this as a reference to Kriyat Shema, of course, noting the similarity of the language, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, with your entire heart and soul. Moshe reviews several categories of mitzvot here, in addition to chukim, decrees whose reason is unknown to us, as we have discussed, mishpatim, civil laws governing interpersonal behavior that are necessary for the development of society. Moshe adds the broad commitments, lalechet bidrachav, to walk in the ways of Hashem, which are the interpersonal behaviors not specifically mandated by the Torah, but which exemplify the character of a Jew who strives to emulate the ways of Hashem, and lishmoa bikolo, which the Ramban interprets as the commitment to listen to the words of our prophets and teachers. The renewal of these commitments, as we stand poised to enter the land, is framed here in the context of the unique relationship we are privileged to enjoy with Hashem. Et Hashem he'emarta hayom, and v'Hashem he'emircha hayom, liyot lo le'am segula. Terms which, as we noted, are not easy to translate. The difficulty is grammatical. The root amar, aleph mem resh, means to speak. It appears most frequently in the simple stem formation or conjugation of the verb. Here, however, it appears in binyan hif'il, the causative form, which is subsequently difficult to translate, especially when applied to subjects such as human beings, or even more difficult when applied to God. What would it mean to cause the Jewish people to be said, or to cause God to be said? So while the Koran Tanakh stayed truest to the root Aleph Mem Resh, Amar, and translated proclaimed, it doesn't really reflect the conjugation in the causative form. So the Art Scroll and Masoret HaRav translations reflect Rashi's interpretation of the words. Rashi states, Ein lahem eid mochiach bamikra. There is no comparable usage anywhere else in Tanakh from which we could derive the meaning of these words. So therefore, we have to look at this context and derive this meaning as unique. V'li nirah, he says, so it appears to me, shehu lishon hafrasha v'havdala. It seems that these are words meaning distinction and separation, as we noted in the translations that I cited. You, Yisrael, have distinguished Hashem from all the false gods of the nations and taken him for yourself as God, and Hashem separated you from among the nations to be his treasured people. Ultimately, Rashi's widely accepted translation derives from what seems to make sense in the context, which is a common way of decoding the meaning of unfamiliar words. The Malbim, however, explains these terms referencing halachic terminology. In Jewish law, A verbal declaration is a necessary part of sanctifying a woman as one's wife. Similarly here, we are giving verbal expression to the covenant entered into at Har Sinai, in which Am Yisrael accepted Ol Malchut Shamayim, Hashem's kingship and dominion over them, and Hashem designated them as his treasured people. This covenant was akin to a marriage, and the bond is being renewed here for three reasons. First, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, and since there will never again be a prophet of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants to reinforce the covenant that had been brought about through his agency. Secondly, since the nation is about to enter the land, and the miraculous conduct to which they had been privileged in the desert, providing them with food, water, and security under Hashem's direct supervision, was about to end, Moshe wanted to reinforce the covenant so that they wouldn't deviate from the path of Torah once their physical conditions changed, and they would be preoccupied with settling and farming the land. And thirdly, Moshe was concerned that future generations might arise and say, "Our fathers were slaves in Mitzrayim and were led into the desert by Moshe." They had no knowledge of the ways of the world. So, of course, they acceded to his terms at Mount Sinai. We, however, never suffered the indignity of slavery. We could take care of ourselves in the modern world. Why should we be burdened by the covenant of Sinai? We want to enjoy life without the limitations of mitzvot. Just as a side note, the Malbim was writing this at the height of the momentum of the Haskalah movement in Eastern Europe. And as a brave defender at the forefront of the battle for traditional Torah Judaism, he was painfully familiar with this argument, as unfortunately are we today. So therefore, he explains, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to renew the covenant with the generation that had been born into freedom rather than slavery, and had spent its formative years steeped in the study of Torah. Their acceptance of the covenant was predicated on broad knowledge and deep understanding of its precepts, not out of a sense of naivete or obligation, and was entered into with full awareness and enthusiasm, and therefore was fully binding. This beautiful reflection upon the unique relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael, He'emarta and He'emircha, we chose each other, we distinguished one another, is referenced in the familiar tefillah of Yom Kippur, which is usually sung together by the congregation, in which we employ various images to describe the many unique ways in which Hashem and Am Yisrael are bound to one another. Anu Amecha Ve'ata Elokeinu, which concludes with the phrase Anu Ma'amirecha Ve'ata Ma'amireinu, referencing our psukim. We are each other's designated one, to whom we are exclusively committed. And Moshe concludes his summation with a review of the purpose of this special relationship, that it may serve to elevate us in the eyes of the nations, who will see our connection to Hashem as a source of glory, who will respect and admire the sanctity with which we conduct ourselves. And of course, this attitude is dependent on our fulfilling our commitment to living a life of Torah and mitzvot without exception. Moshe, accompanied by the Kohanim and Leviim, the teachers of Israel, now issues instructions for a renewal of the covenant between Hashem and Yisrael that is to take place upon entry into the land. Six tribes are assigned to stand on Har Gerizim, and six on Har Eval, which stand across from one another. The Kohanim and Leviim, along with the Aron containing the Luchot, will be positioned in the valley between the two mountains, and the Kohanim and Leviim will turn first toward Har Gerizim and recite a series of blessings with which the people will be rewarded if they keep the mitzvot as promised, and the nation will answer Amen to each blessing. The Kohanim and Leviim will then turn toward Har Eval and issue a corresponding set of curses that will befall those who violate the contract and transgress, to which the nation will similarly have to respond Amen. The lengthy description of the punishment that will transpire should the nation transgress, known as the tochacha, the rebuke, comprises the remainder of the parasha, concluding with Moshe's reminder to the people of the miracles Hashem has performed for them throughout the years in the desert and the miraculous conquests of the land of Sichon and Og as they approached civilization, which were then divided among the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe as they began to take possession of the land, and his admonition to them to keep the terms of the covenant so as to merit continued success in all of their endeavors. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, notes that the structure of Parashat Ki Tavo is central to its message. He cites the rabbinic teaching that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makdim Refu'a L'Makah, God creates the remedy before the disease and applies it to our parasha. Prior to the Tochacha, Moshe outlined the laws of Bikurim, bringing the first fruits in celebration to the temple, which is accompanied by the declaration of Hakarat HaTov, recognizing the great good that Hashem has done for us, and concluded with the words, V'samachta b'chol hatov asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha, and you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Judaism, says Rabbi Sacks, is a religion of rejoicing, of remembering where we came from, and therefore not taking our blessings for granted, of recalling the source of the good, and therefore not forgetting the larger truth that it comes to us from the hands of God. Moshe Rabbeinu preceded the Tochacha with the declaration of Hakarat HaTov, with the reminder of our special connection with our Creator, so that even if tragedy should ensue, we will be armed with the tool to lift ourselves out of the abyss, to find God even in the midst of our suffering, and to celebrate and renew our connection with Him. May we be privileged to do so as we continue to reflect on this connection during the month of Elul. Thank you for learning together.